Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Wine About History podcast, featuring your host,
Max Hamill,
and his sidekick, who normally goes by M-Bomb, because it was a really stupid nickname we decided to make up, but I'm going by my real name tonight, and my real name's Patty, so we're just going with that. Anyway, we've got a great show, very interesting show, and you know why? Because it's happy.
Because it's a happy show.
It's a happy show.
And I am not...
You're not
the narrator of the story.
No, you're not the narrator. I'm the narrator today. Yay! And, well, let's talk about the wine we're drinking tonight for our podcast first. You're going to have to pronounce it because you speak French and I don't. Oops. Sorry. Knocked the mic with the bottle of wine.
So we are drinking... Guy Mousset, Côte de Rhône, Appellation Côte de Rhône Contrôleur, Product of France, 2017.
You said that really well. It's a rosé. It's a rosé. We're drinking a rosé because it is...
Not pronounced rose.
It's not a rose wine. It's but it is kind of rosy. But it is the perfect summer wine. If you were to ask me to drink a rosé in the middle of December, I'd say no, thank you. But in the middle of a hot Minnesota summer, and yes, they get hot here. Humid, hot. It's perfect. It's delicious. I really like it. And I'm probably going to get more of it. And you know who else would probably like a nice rosé in the middle of a hot summer?
Whom?
The heroine of our story. Her name's Constance Kopp, K-O-P-P, and my book group read a book about her. It was a historical fiction book written by Amy Stewart called Girl Waits with Gun, and just the title grabbed me. And if you can see, like, the cover picture, that cover artwork, you'd love it. You'd just have to read it just based on that alone. But anyway, it's about America's first female deputy and how she became a deputy. Would you like to hear about it?
I know I would.
There's not a lot written about her. The author found out about her while she was researching another book and was trying to find this guy. And when she was researching the guy for the other book, she ran across this woman. And what happened was the guy, Henry Kaufman, that she was researching for another book, got into a horse and buggy versus car crash back in 1914. So I should set the stage for where we are. 1914 in New Jersey, Wyckoff, New Jersey. I'm not super familiar with that part of New Jersey, but...
We'll put a link in the show notes about the book.
Oh, we will. Okay, perfect. That's good, because I think a lot of people would enjoy reading it. It's a pretty quick read, too. And so anyway, these three sisters were living on a farm in Wyckoff, New Jersey. I'm guessing there's no farmland now. But back then there was farms and there were factories. And an owner of one of the silk factories in New York crashed his car into their horse and buggy and did a lot of damage. And the sisters wanted him to pay for it. And he said, no. I'm not gonna. And, oh, did you want a glass of wine? Here you go. It's good wine. Constance Kopp.
It is good wine. I've got the cover art of the book up in front of us, and I'll put that in the show notes, too.
It's cool, isn't it?
It's very cool. It has kind of a...
Yeah, the cover just kind of grabs you. And anyway, so back then, I think horse and buggies were kind of getting phased out and cars were taking over. And that was probably hard for a lot of people. Think of these horses just minding their own business. And all of a sudden, you know, they've just been horse and buggies for so long. And now cars are like all over. Everyone's getting cars.
For reference, the first commercially successful car was the Duryea car. And it's a very interesting little car. You can look it up on your iPhones and tablets, but things like
that.
They
spell that.
D-U-R-Y-E-A. Duryea.
Who made it?
The Duryea brothers.
Where were they located?
I will look it up. The West Coast.
I thought maybe they were French, like our wine or something.
They are French.
They are French, okay.
Charles Duryea engineered the first ever working gasoline-powered car and co-founder of the Duryea. Oh.
What's that noise? Is someone mowing their
That would be... the...
Diffuser?
That, no, that's a weed whacker in our front yard.
A weed whacker. Oh, someone's outside weed whacking.
Yes.
That's great, because it's so loud. So anyway, so it was hard because they had to share the roads and these poor petrified horses had these cars flying at them. And so it was scary. And it was probably scary if you were in a horse and buggy because you probably weren't as protected as people in cars were. They had more protection around them.
Yeah, Hackney cabs and buggies really didn't have a roof a lot of the times.
No, yeah.
Or they had half a roof or they just kind of...
Yeah. Yeah. But it was like great for getting around, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy crashes his car into their buggy and does a bunch of damage. And these women needed this buggy. I mean, that was their transportation. It's how they got to town. It's how they got everything. And they didn't have a lot of money. They were living just on kind of like this dwindling amount of money. Or at least that's how it is in the book. And the book is historical fiction, but there's a ton of fact in it.
If it's historical fiction, you can rely on it pretty much. You can't rely on every detail, but mm-hmm. it gives you a good general idea.
Yeah, general idea. So, these three sisters living on their own. Their parents died. Well, I don't know what happened to the dad. The dad took off. The mom died. And they don't have a ton of money. So, they really need this buggy fix because it's going to cut into their dwindling savings. And the guy flat out refuses to pay them for the damages. So, she kind of sues him. And instead of... Okay, what were you going to say?
Kind of? How do you kind of sue someone?
Well, maybe she's... For real, sued him.
Okay, then.
Okay, so she sued. Anyway, she wanted her money. And instead of paying her, he decides intimidation tactics are the way to go. And he thinks, well, these are just three women living on their own. If I bug them enough, they'll just back off and they won't sue me. So he starts...
This seems like more effort than it's worth.
Well, doesn't like, it, though?
Yeah, like, this is an ego thing. This is an ego thing, like... Because, how much does bugging someone cost you? It's got to, like, be expensive.
Yeah.
How much do buggy parts cost?
$50. Okay. $25, $50. That's all she wanted, and he was rich. He could easily afford it.
Go ahead. Okay, continue with the story.
So, no, but I think you're right. I think that was the whole deal. It was just like, I could pay you. I'm just not gonna. I'm gonna intimidate and find you.
There are people like that over the road who would just, like, rather... Mm-hmm. Be their evil king in the castle.
Yeah.
Than a hero.
Yeah. And there's still bullies that exist in small towns that, you know, they got the right people behind them, and they can kind
of
do whatever.
There's a kind of a SeaWorld place in Canada where the owner is down and out evil. He, like, has murdered local dogs.
What?
He tortures the sea life that are in his care.
Oh.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. He's just an evil bastard.
Oh, that's... Oh.
And maybe maybe someone can go, no, man, he's not an evil bastard. He's just this, he's just that, he just... No, the evidence has accrued. He seems quite a bit of a jerk to me. Back to Miss Cope.
Constance, okay.
Constance Cope.
So then the bad guys, so they start... So this Henry Kaufman, he's rich, he owns a silk factory... And he's got a bunch of hoodlums that hang with him and do his dirty work. So they went to the farm and they fired shots on the women and they threw bricks in the window, and tied around one of the bricks was a note that said, friends of HK, like Carrie Coffin, like back off, you know, bleh, being really mean. So she's like pissed, and so she goes to... the police department, and the police are like, you know, we're not going to do anything. But she was able to find the Sheriff Heath, who was sympathetic to her and her sisters and said, yeah, I'll help you. So what he did was, and you'll love this, gave them all guns. Yeah. Peg's got a big smile on his face. Here's some guns. And I don't know if they ever shot him or not, but back then, so law enforcement was a little different.
Welcome to 1914, where everyone gets guns.
Yeah, you just get guns. If you go to the police, this guy's bugging me, here's a gun. That works.
Watch out for the Adolf Hitler, he's a bad egg.
Here's a gun.
Here's a gun.
Anyway, so the sheriff, and he was a very progressive sheriff at the time, too. He knew that, like, prisoners needed, like, more stimulation than just sitting in cells, mm-hmm. and he was going to try to help rehabilitate them and everything, but that's kind of another story. So he gives these women guns, and then this woman, so Constance, the oldest sister, gets a note that from the bad guys, that they're going to kidnap her sister and sell her into white slavery. Now, she had a younger sister that actually was her daughter. But, yeah, it was actually her daughter. So she's like 30, 31 during the story, and her daughter, or sister, I guess, was 15. So what happened was, yeah, she lived...
You do know you can die, right? Like, you can be murdered and people can get away with it.
What?
No, just like... What's the, you kidnap someone's relative and sell them to slavery. What's stopped them from torturing you to death? Like, seriously, what's stopped them from tying you to a post,
oh, I see,
pouring gasoline on you and going, bye?
Right, nothing, I guess.
I don't understand people.
Oh, but you know, I kind of got off
Sorry.
The subject a little
My
bit.
Fault.
No, I know. I got off subject too because this, but law enforcement back then wasn't like, you know, had all your police and stuff. It was mostly, like, volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
I think the sheriff was elected. That was, like, a paid position. But other than that,
the rest, it was posses and things like that.
Yeah,
because
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was very much, because a lot of places were rural, there wasn't a lot of structure.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why the sheriff is the only guy in town who will stop the baddie. That stereotype comes from real life. The sheriff was the only law, maybe a deputy or two.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be one person for 500. It would be just him against some evil, you know, guy who just killed 50 Native Americans and children and had no conscience, and he'd have to fight him or kill him.
Wow.
That stereotype comes from a real place. But anyways, back to your story, which is actually way more interesting.
No, that's kind of interesting because I didn't realize that rounding up the posse, I did not realize that was a thing. I mean, I saw it in Gunsmoke and stuff like that, but I didn't know that they would just knock on people's doors. They'd be like, knock, knock, hey, Max, this bad guy got away. Well, you want to go get him? And you'd be like, sure, I'm going to grab my rifle and I'll come with you and we'll go get the bad guy.
This is why you were a man at 12, so you could... so you could partake in man hunts because you're hunting for, you get the whole village together to look for an escaped convict or a bad person.
Cool. So, anyway, Constance gets this note that says they're going to kidnap her younger sister / daughter, Florette, and sell her. And that's like a really big threat, and they could probably do it. So she brings it to Sheriff Heath, and Sheriff Heath's like, but they said, if you don't bring $1,000 to this, at this train station, at this time and place, and give the money to this woman in black, we're going to kidnap your sister.
That seems a bit much.
It is a bit much. So, yeah, $1,000 back then was probably like $1 million.
1914?
Yeah.
I think you multiply by 7 or 10, depending on
is
what year.
It?
I think it's 10. No, 20s is 10. So it'd be at least 100,000.
Okay.
I mean, at least 10,000.
Okay. I guess that's not that much then, but still a lot of money. So then Sheriff Heath says to her, hey, would you mind being the bait so we can catch these people? We'll have you wait to meet this alleged woman in black, and when you meet her to make the drop and give her the money, we'll catch her and arrest her. She's like, sure. So she waited with a little gun in her purse for this person, but the person never came. So then, fast forward a little bit, and they get another threatening note.
$1,000?
Yeah.
Today the item would cost $25,000.
Oh, that's it. So basically they were only asking for $25,000.
Well, $25,198.90.
Oh, okay.
Still a lot of money, though. That's a house. Oh, it's, I mean, not a house, but it's a nice car. It's a big chunk of house payment.
Yeah. It's something. It's, yeah. Let's just say it's a lot of money. So, so this time, they, so then they get another note. Another letter came, and it was, they were going to abduct Florette again, and they, she was going to wait at this train station for this guy, and she did, and it was one of, the guy that met her at the train station was one of this Henry Kaufman's henchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And reports said that, so she was waiting, and he tapped her on the shoulder, and she kind of freaked, fought, either fought him off or kind of ran. Anyway, not the,
I wish I had henchmen.
Yeah, she didn't shoot the henchmen. The reports are conflicting, but they captured him, and they took samples of his handwriting to compare it with the notes. Mm-hmm. And handwriting analysis was kind of a new police technique mm-hmm. back then, but... you know, they used it, I think they used it to help convict Henry Kaufman. So they did get him on something, and I believe she got some money from him. But the really cool part was that that sheriff, Sheriff Heath, was so impressed that she was willing to be the bait both times in these kidnapping things, and he knew she was really brave and really capable, that he made her a deputy sheriff. So that's how she became the first woman deputy. And if you want to know more about her and her story, which is like pretty, very interesting, read Girl Waits with Gun by Amy Stewart. And you said you'd put a link.
I put a link.
It's good. It's really, it's a fun read. And apparently she's written a couple like sequels to it, but I haven't read
the title yet. Makes sense now. Girl Waits with Gun.
Yeah. So the, what the papers apparently had like a field day with this, because they learned about her standing up to this Henry Kaufman guy and they thought it was just great. So they wrote a bunch of articles, and one of the articles was about her waiting for the bad guys at the train station, and it was "Girl Waits with Gun for Black Handler." Black Handlers or Black Handers?
Because here's the thing, the Black Hand was an Italian, most I believe in a Sicilian mafia extortion group.
Mm-hmm.
So these were these men Sicilian, or were they were just,
I don't,
or was just, I think, they were taking the word Black Hander and using it on them?
Yeah, I think they were just generalizing it for this guy's henchmen.
In the same way that a bandit is someone who works in a band of men and robs people on the road, mm-hmm. you can call a modern gangster a bandit, kind of.
Sure.
So
you could. It's interchangeably used. But that's really all I have. Oh, I just wanted to give you a quote from her. It's pretty forward.
Here's a quote.
A quote from Miss Kopp.
It's quote time, people.
It's quote time. And she said, "Some women prefer to stay at home and take care of the house. Let them. There are plenty like that kind of work enough to do it. Others want something to do that will take them out among people and affairs. A woman should have the right to do any sort of work she wants to, provided she can do it."
I agree.
So that's her quotable quote for the day.
It's her quotable quote for the day.
Yep. So that's all I have on this glorious summer day.
It's a glorious summer day.
And we would love to hear from people.
We would love your feedback. We're new at this. We're struggling. We're figuring things out. We're having... No. This will happen, and that will happen.
Sometimes technical issues.
There are technical issues. There are production issues. There are brain farts in which you get confused and don't do the right thing.
Yeah.
Because it's just me. I'm the producer, the editor, the sound guy, the gaffer, all of it.
All of it. He does it all.
He does
a great job.
Eh.
My opinion.
Me.
But anyway, I guess that wraps
up
the show.
That's her. Sure. Awesome. Next week, we will be back with Hunter S. Thompson, cool. The infamous writer who did not invent gonzo journalism, but made it acceptable, let's say. He's one of those people that didn't invent it, but he brought it forth.
All right.
Yes. We can learn about all the cocaine he did.
We can learn about that too. Okay.
You have the rest of the week.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, everyone. See you in the next episode.